You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Handlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
We are alive. We are back, and welcome to episode 65 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on April 16th, 2014. My name is Rob, and I do PvP.
Tisk, tisk.
Even on my alts. You know, since PvP's a thing. Nothing, huh?
No.
I'll let
no.
you grief. You'll grief, I'm sure. I'll get it later. But, with me this evening is the man with the plan, the canal, Panama, Daryl, the untanned, whoa, resto shaman.
I got a tan this time. Actually, it's
oh, really?
Yes, it started as a sunburn that turned into a tan. But yes, I am tanned this time for a change.
Dear Lord.
I know. It's weird.
I would say pics, but I don't know if I want to see that or not.
Well, not everywhere is tanned.
Now I really don't want to see that. Oh, man. And with me, all the way from down the street here, we've never met in real life, but he is a bro, come to teach us the ways of the Windwalker and to show us the magic of the spreadsheets and the spin kicks and the sun rising kicks is Mr. Rotund.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
So PvP, is that thing you have to do halfway through the legendary quest to get your uh-huh. stuff?
Oh,
is
that yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Evidently, there's a whole community built around that.
Oh. That was a strange experience. I don't want to do that again.
No, the silver shard mines where it was enough to...
I hate those things. Oh, my God. I'm never going back to those.
I'll probably get some PvP stories here in a little bit, but Mr. Rotund, thanks for coming tonight. Do you want us to call you Rotund?
Yeah.
Okay. Or yeah, Brotund.
Either one works. Like, yeah. You can change it up if you want, but yeah.
I probably will. So how about we'll do a couple interview questions and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes of the Windwalker Monk. How, when, where, and why did you start playing? And if it's not kind of obvious already, what is your current main?
Yeah, I don't really play any alts, so I play only one character for the most part. It's my monk. I started playing like way back in vanilla. Obviously, there weren't monks back then, so I was playing a paladin up until this expansion, and then I wanted to get a kind of a new start, something new, something fresh, and I decided to start playing a monk. I wanted to heal initially, but the guild I was in had many, many healers, so I got to start doing some melee deeps. And then I'm loving it ever since. Been raiding all expansion for the most part since day one.
Right on. So what is the origin of the name Rotund?
Even before I knew I was going to roll a monk, I knew I had to come up with a name, like a cool name for it, because, like, I think I named my first character Salty Cracker, which is kind of a bad name. So I wanted to have like a way better name than that. And I originally rolled a Pandaren, so the big fat Pandaren, and I was like, he's fat, so I'm just call him Rit. And Rotund kind of sounded kind of like rolled off the tongue a little bit, and actually it's also got a little bit of a reminder to myself, like before I started playing, I quit for a while back in Cataclysm, and got back in shape, lost a lot of weight, and so Rotund is kind of like a reminder to myself, like, hey, don't stop taking care of yourself as you play this game. So it's also a little bit of a front and center reminder to run once in a while.
Oh, I like that. Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How about, I mean, you've taken some breaks here and there, but you have to have some sort of, like, pinnacle moment. What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Warcraft?
I didn't start, like, I've been raiding pretty much since, like, I did some beasties, I did some Molten Core back in vanilla, but I was in, like, a really, we were in a guild that was just kind of friends and family. We didn't really know what we were doing. So we, like, wiped on all the time on Lucifron, like, all the time. We just, like, show up and waste 4 hours just, like, and get, like, 3 attempts on a boss or something like that. But I didn't start raiding really seriously until, like, BC. And I think, like, I joined a guild that was working on, like, Magtheridon. And I think the first time we got that boss down was just, like, that always, like, stands out to me. Like, it was just, like, this huge daunting task at the time. Like, oh, my God, we got to do all this stuff. And everyone's got to play, like, super good. And we got, like, everything has to kind of line up. And then, like, we spent probably, like, 3 weeks on it. And, like, the first time he died, I was like, wow. So that's what it's like to actually, like...
Nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, having him die. And it was in classic fashion. Like, we had, like, 2 people alive at the end of the night and, like... Or at the end of the fight, and we spent, like, the next hour in Vent playing Queen, We Are the Champions.
And, that's awesome.
Like, flying around Northrend, or not Northrend, but the Hellfire Peninsula, and just being, like, just getting crazy. It was fun.
That's awesome.
That is great, man.
Yeah.
What will be, or if you've done it already, what is the free level 90 that you got for Warlords of Draenor?
Yeah, I haven't pre-ordered. I should get another monk. I kind of want to. If I were to pre-order the game, I haven't done it yet because, like, I'm not a big fan of pre-ordering games because I know it'll be out. I know that it'll be there when I want it. It's not like it's going to be scarce or anything. But I think I would, like, I think I'd do another monk just and put it on the, because I play Alliance right now.
Yes, dude.
I'd make a Horde side monk. And do some, like, do some Brewmaster and do some Windwalker over there.
Yes.
That'd be sweet.
I approve.
That's, yeah, okay. I mean, I played Horde, like, at the beginning of the expansion, and I miss it a little bit, so I'll kind of get back in that.
Well, my co-main is a level 90 Horde Warlock, and I used my free 90 to do an Alliance Warlock on the Dalaran server, in which I thought he was in a guild, but turns out he was booted from that guild, and he's still not invited in that guild. If anyone's listening,
it's awkward.
Hey,
oh, I'm not.
But anyway, someone in the chat room right now knows what I'm talking about. Anyways, that's enough of that.
You know what? You have been nothing but shaman love since, didn't you say the alpha?
Who, me?
Who, me?
Hand.
No, I wasn't in the alpha. I was in the beta. But yes.
Yeah, okay. So for going on 10 years, you've been nothing but shaman love, mm-hmm. right?
I know.
Yes. And so your boost was a warlock?
Yeah,
even
it was
though
a
you have a warlock?
Yeah. Well, I have a shaman, okay. too. Yes, yes, it was.
Yeah, yes, seems legit.
What race did you pick for your warlock?
I think it's a worgen.
A gnome?
Yeah.
A gnome?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, say no to gnomes.
Just say no.
Exactly.
Friends don't let friends roll short tunes.
Exactly. Same with goblins.
I don't know, don't man. I've got a dwarf. I have a dwarf monk. Nice. Who's 90.
Who's, yeah, my first alt was a gnome mage. So I've got a soft spot for him. So, you know, call me sentimental, but they're kind of cute.
I do have a couple of gnomes. I don't know what was the word somebody called me the other day. Like a gnome something. Some sort of gnome.
Gnome,
like,
sympathizer?
Yeah, I thought, yep, that was it. Nice.
I think Randy Newman wrote a song about that.
I guess the stream is, like, keeps restarting. I don't know what the heck, but we'll deal with it. I apologize, Broom. Anyone else who's struggling? The struggle is real. But, Mr. Broton, what have you been up to? I would say this last week, but we haven't recorded in about a month. So what have you been up to recently in in-game and out-of-game, whatever?
In the game, just been... I mean, we my guild killed, we killed Heroic Garrosh back in January. And so we've just been logging in, trying, sometimes we get, like, I think we've done about 2 or 3 one-night clears since then. But we're just like, that's our goal for the week. And I think someone in our guild 1 week bribed us. She's like, please, 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 I will give, if we clear the instance in one night, I'll give away like 100,000 gold, and I'll give away, like, you know, those, like, lightsaber swords, like the
the
Blade of Wizardry, and, like, Blade of Wizardry, and it was they gave away, what's the new mount? What's the robot mount?
The Sky Golem.
Sky Golem. So he gave away, like, a ton of gold, a Sky Golem, and, like, a sword.
Nice.
And we actually, like, the next week that he offered it, we did it. He just was like, well, there you go. There it was. And then the next week we did it, and since then it was just, we've had connection problems or whatever. But, I mean, that's pretty much what I've been doing in game. Is just farming it up, trying to coin my best in slot or whatever, and then just paying attention to all the alpha notes, and I think you just keep dropping like candy, so hopefully we'll get a beta before too long. And other than that, just been FTL. I don't know if there's a game called FTL that came out a while back, and they released an update to it, and I've been playing a lot of that and playing a lot of Spelunky, and just wasting time with Diablo and all that kind of fun stuff. So not using my time productively, we'll say that.
So if you're on farm content, I'd say all of that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, taking a break before the next round of progression hits, whenever that is, and maybe Christmas time or
whatever. Honor before December 23rd. Honor before.
Is that when you say, I said that to somebody at work the other day. In fact, it was Hoofit. I work with him, and he looked at me, and he was like, honor before what? He's like, you mean like honor points? Like,
yeah.
I was like, no, like actually on this date or before. Like, I was like, oh, that was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, like, I've been playing Blizzard games a long time. I started playing Diablo 1, like, when I really started to figure out what video games were. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember, like, Diablo 2, they kept teasing it and kept hinting at it. And they're like, we're going to release it soon. And we always meant, like, what does soon mean? And so I guess, like, 20 years later, we finally know what the definition of soon is. It's maybe 9 months, maybe. Honor before.
Yep. Nice.
Great. That's good. Rob,
let's see.
What about you guys?
I have, like I mentioned at the top, I've actually been doing some PvP. It was part of a challenge that I had put out there to help gain a little momentum for our Twitch channel, and I said that if I reached 100 followers, that I would actually do some arenas and stream them, and so I did, and now I've got a warrior who is in full PvP gear. He's got like 4 pieces of prideful gear. I've got the weapon. I've been invited to be on a threes team with Jabcup and Day from the Dots, Hots, and Grave Plots podcast. It's a PvP podcast, and they've invited me to come be on their threes team. So I guess I don't think I'm doing very good, but they said I'm not doing too bad. So It's interesting. It's fun, and it's sometimes it's horrible. but yeah,
there's a gleaming moment of fun once in a while, or
it's a whole nother game, really. I mean, I'm like I don't even know what stance I'm supposed to be in. I don't know. So I got all these spells now that I got to put on my bar that I'm like, I don't ever use this. What is this? Oh,
what's this hamstring button?
Yeah, dude. Exactly. And that's like bread and butter, man. You keep that up, man. And now I'm like, we got to redo all my keybinds, which I have a funny story about later. Lots of PvP. I've actually been PvPing on a couple of guys. Starting to gear up a Windwalker monk for PvP, and you see him doing really, really well, and tearing people up. And if you see a guy that's destroying everything on a Windwalker monk, that is not me. Because I am lost as all heck. So that, and we finally stepped up and put on some big boy pants and got into a normal mode raid. We've just been flex raiding since Siege of Orgrimmar came out, and we got a proper group together and went in now that we can cross around it, and had a really good time last Friday. Went like 7 of 14 in a couple hours, and it was great. Had a really good time. I did not get any gear. Well, oh, no. I got a piece of gear, but it was a downgrade. So, at this point, I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure how many upgrades I would get out of a normal med raid. I mean, the weapons and trinkets would be nice, but it's good. I like it. It's a little more legit than flex, I guess. I could definitely tell a difference. Like, I was getting hit a lot harder, had to pay a lot more attention, you know. Flex is exactly that. It's flex. You can kind of get away with a lot of things. But it was really fun. So, yeah, that's about it for me. Goofing off, PvP, little raiding. Hand, how about you?
The raiding, that was... I was really happy with our progress for our first time stepping into normals, doing a 7 of 10, or 7 of 14, and... Nazgrim, we got two pulls in, and the last one we got up to 10%, I think. So I think one more and we'd have had it, but we had people who were dropping fast because it was midnight already. So this week we'll get it, I think. For sure we'll get Nazgrim. I hate to admit it, but I've done a little bit of PvP as well with Rob this week. I think I've got my trinkets now on my Warlock, and I have... just the Justice shoulders and robe. So we'll see how that goes. I'll keep trying it out just a little bit. And I was actually talking with Rob earlier today, and this might actually spawn a whole series of episodes related to PvP coming up in the next few months, maybe. We'll see. I've got some big ideas that could take a few shows, so we might have a bunch of content coming up regarding PvP. But outside of game, part of why we haven't recorded in a month is I was in Mexico for a week and a half. And the week and a half before that, my family was in Mexico. They went before me. And while they were away, I was doing home renovations. Now, what I had thought, when I planned this originally, I thought that I would... you know, work on these renos for about 3 hours a night. You know, come home, have supper, work from like 6 till 9, and then 9 till 12, I'd come upstairs to the office and play on the computer for 3 hours. And I kind of did that the first 2 days, and that was the end of that, because I quickly realized there was no way I was going to get this done before I left for Mexico if I played on the computer at all. So that kind of... Yeah. Someone should have really talked me out of that before I ever started it. Because my wife was in Mexico.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure we all did.
Yeah, you guys might have said something. But my wife was in Mexico with the kids, and she totally expected that I was going to be sitting on the computer, you know, from work until I went to bed for a week and a half straight, full weekends, and I didn't do that, and I... it looks really good what I did. Like, I did the floor in our hallway and bedroom, and it looks awesome. But geez, I won't be doing that for a while again now. But yeah, I think that's
but being you get about to play with fun toys though, right? Like power tools. And
well,
all
yes,
that.
Of course. Rob actually sent me a something. I think we tweeted it too. And when you're doing your home renovations, about 16% was what. Staring into space, 25% is trips to Home Depot, another 10% is drinking beer and coffee, and like 40% is looking for that friggin' tool you just had in your friggin' hands 10 friggin' minutes ago. And that is so true. There's so many times I do that. It's like, I just had it. Where is it? Where is it? So anyway, that's enough of our last month, I think. I think it's time to get on with some Windwalkers. So Let's do this first.
This is Vero from youtube.com/Nakochan, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Hen and Rob.
With Hen and Rob.
Do I still have that one?
Probably. Oh, that was the best ever.
I'm sure it's on the soundboard, too. There it is. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
All right. I got it.
This is Saz from World of Saz, and you are listening to The Training Dummies with Hen and Ron.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's what happens when you make somebody stay up till 1 in the morning recording.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I have a low-level Mistweaver monk. See, I don't even know what spec it is. So I really have not much to add to this conversation, so I'm going to let you two take over.
Oh my gosh.
Don't die.
Call 911.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah. I tried to sneak a drink and it went down the wrong pipe, so. Good. We don't edit, so.
Awesome.
All right. Just quick background here. When Mists came out, I was pretty sure that I wanted to go monk. And when we did, I leveled as Brewmaster. I was doing Recruit a Friend with a buddy of mine, and I leveled as Brewmaster and didn't learn a thing because it happened so quickly that I had no idea what was going on. So I went Windwalker, caught on to that real quick, and this is, you know, early Mists, Mogushan Vaults, and sorry, I'm still like struggling with the breathing thing here. And for our guild team, though, we needed a healer, so I picked up Mistweaver and really got into that. So I was raiding mostly as Mistweaver and then off spec as a Windwalker, and when we only needed two heals, I would go DPS, and it was awesome, and I loved it, and it felt really good. After that time, things changed dramatically. Everything about Windwalker changed. They added the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Storm, and Fire? Storm?
Storm, Earth, and Fire, yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Storm, Brew, Mist.
Yeah, and, yep. Yeah. So they changed a few things. Definitely have been just playing games with the Mastery this whole time and, tweaking a few things. And I think the fundamentals are still kind of the same, but now there's a lot more to it. And this may be a little self-serving, but, you know, that's what happens when you do a podcast like this. But if you want to just – I know a lot of this is so basic, so we could skip through, like, some of the easy stuff, you know, stats, gems, enchants. Obviously, it's going to be agility.
Well, you start with jab. That's the first thing you do.
Jab, uplift, right?
Yep, pretty much.
So we can blaze through some of the easier stuff and then get into the meat of it. But with stats, gems, and enchants, obviously agility is going to be your main stat. I know there's been a lot of hustle and talk about and Coltrane talking about mastery and where are you at with all that?
I mean, yeah, there's been a bit of a kerfuffle over what our best secondary stat is. Like you said, definitely agility is where you want to be in terms of gemming and chanting. Like, that's the best, I guess, give you the best bang for the buck. Coming out of when this patch of Rainer's on the PTR and kind of since then, the devs have been encouraging us to go with more of a mastery build rather than a haste build, like a lot of the high level raiders, the high level Windwalker monks are going haste just because it gives them the bigger boost. I think Coltrane, Coltrane, he talked to me and he talked to a lot of people and he's like, hey, look, like the devs may have an idea of how to play the class because they kind of make the game. So like, would you guys want to like maybe just try an experiment and say, hey, like let's try some mastery heavy build. Let's see if it makes a difference. Let's get crazy. Let's see what's going on. And I think myself and a few other monks, like, we're like, yeah, sure, let's try it, because we were already on kind of farm, and we're like, yeah, let's kind of. And I was always curious because, like, the spreadsheet that I do and the theorycrafting I do and the people I talk to, like, we're all, you kind of get in this like echo chamber once in a while when you're all talking to each other and you don't really like consider a lot of new ideas.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I've always been kind of curious about it and might as well just try it out and see how it goes. And it wasn't like master build wasn't terrible. Wasn't that bad, but it was definitely a big change and definitely not effective as it was, you know, hyped up to be, I guess. A lot of it revolves around Fists of Fury, which is not very popular with a lot of people at the moment. To say the least, you know, Fist of Fury. It roots you in one place. It exposes you. It leaves you at risk of encounter hazards and a lot of stuff. And it's not very. It's not a cut and dry DPS increase. So to kind of build your rotation around it, like what you would do with a mastery build, wasn't making a lot of sense. But you know, we tried it out and it works okay. But I think I snooped on Coltrane's armory. Since then, he's gone with a haste build, so I'm pretty
nice.
Awesome. I'm pretty satisfied with our experiments and our you know, it was fun, but it was fun. Like, and a lot of people, you know, Coltrane's a really, really cool guy, a really good personality, and I think a lot of what he says carries a lot of weight, and then especially with me and a lot of other monks. Like, so I wanted to kind of give it a shot, and I think he's working with the haste build now. I'm hoping he likes it, but yeah, it was it stemmed from the devs and kind of worked its way through, and I think that we all learned a lesson at the end of the day. So yeah, I mean, what kind of build are you running right now if you're looking to jump back into the mix?
Well, right now I am kind of doing the haste thing. Mainly I'm just trying to build up my PvP gear, and so it's a mix of Timeless Isle and a little bit of 522, and so I don't know, I don't know if the stats are quite the same for PvP. I think they are. I haven't really dug into it yet. I'm kind of just messing around with gearing, but I do know that playing in a PvP environment, in a raid environment, just feels way different. Way different. So,
I'd guess, like, PvP would be you go with a more crit build, because, I mean, in PvE, like, you're glued to a boss's butt.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's no downtime. You're not chasing after people. You're not getting CC'd. So you really don't have any hate. Like, you have a lot of energy issues when you're in a raid. Like, you need to, like, be spending energy consistently and you don't have enough energy, it seems like. But in a PvP, when you're having like a lot of downtime, I'm guessing you probably want to go with something like crit or maybe even a little bit of mastery to get a lot to Tiger Eye Brew for bursts and things like
that.
Yeah,
burst is super important, but yeah, we're not gonna, I guess, focus too much on the PvP part of it, because
I'm just kind of speculating now. I'm like,
Which is awesome. But so you have pretty much decided that mastery is not really viable, so it's the haste build and kind of that's good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's for as long as I can remember, like the kind of the mantra has been like, you know, stack haste up to your own kind of personal haste cap. Like, everyone's kind of got their own haste cap, and there's a point where you have just way too much energy than you can handle, and you kind of got to back off and play at the speed that you like. And you know, for a while it was like back in tier 14, it was like about, let's like 5,000 haste was like the general, this is the squishy haste cap. And then when the next tier came out, they introduced Root of Reordination, and so that threw haste into a frenzy where you had to like balance all your stats, I had to use a program that took all of my stats and balanced them all and made mastery 1 point higher than the rest. And so I had to like re-enchant and regem and just like get crazy, like get super crazy. It was like this mathematical iterative optimizer that in order to like make the math work. And then now it's like, I think with the Chi Brew changes, you can stack as much haste as you'd like. I think you don't hit a cap with the current, like, with where gears at right now, but, I don't know. It's kind of everyone's got their own personal cap, and you know, there's no wrong way to play, I don't think, like Windwalker, unless you're like, have your back turned to the boss or whatever. But yeah, you can, it's how much ever haste you would like. I personally am crazy for it. I can't get enough of it, and so I stack as much as possible as gear will allow.
Well, then let's go through the talent tree and see what you. I know that it changes fight by fight. Are there any? We can just start at the top and go down. So, what would you do for the level? Was it level 30 talents?
Yeah, like
level 15
tier. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just start there.
Okay. Yeah. So you got three options. You have Tiger's Lust, which I prefer. For a while, I mean, the way that kind of, I think that monk talents are broken down is there's always it looks to me like there's always like a beginner, an intermediate, and an advanced kind of option.
Mm-hmm.
So like for the movement tier, for the tier 15, like there's a talent that increases your number of rolls to 3 and then reduces their cooldown. There's a skill that every time you roll, your movement speed gets buffed for 10 seconds, and then there's like an on-demand sprint, basically. And I tend to use the sprint a lot because when our raid like does encounters, if we're gonna move from one spot to another, we're gonna do it in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're not doing it that often, so we definitely like just go for burst speed. So I usually choose Tiger's Lust. I have that pretty much for every encounter. But as I was kind of learning my monk, I first had celerity. I was like, mm-hmm. Okay,
yep,
that's going to be useful if I need to like bounce in, bounce out, bounce around if I'm moving around the encounter a lot. So I picked that, and then I went with momentum because momentum, like I would roll, and I would need to like get it wouldn't be far enough. So I was like, okay, well if I roll, it's going to give me a little speed boost so I can get where I'm going a little bit faster. And then now that I've kind of like sussed out all the options, kind of like going with Tiger's Lust, because that's just you push a button, you go fast, you get there, you stop.
You can cast it on other people too, right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And I think I started taking it when we were doing Heroic Lei Shen, because there's it's that big square platform,
mm-hmm.
and like he tries to push people off, and so what I would end up doing is specking Tiger's Lust and casting on other people who didn't have run speed increases, like priests,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Shadow priests or warlocks or whatever. But so yeah, you can cast on other people, and it's pretty handy to do. But I tend to be selfish with it, so I don't.
Nice. I haven't graduated to Tiger's Lust. I've taken the same path, celerity, and especially as a Mistweaver, celerity. When I was taking Chi Torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
You can get those three in, and it was just like free heals for days.
Yep.
And then I've moved up to momentum, and I haven't really moved on from that, but I'm guessing maybe I should. I don't know. Just another button to push right now is just not, it's not where.
Yeah, we don't need more buttons to push, definitely. There's plenty. Like, I have I don't use my keyboard anymore. I bought one of those gaming pads.
Oh, the yeah, huh?
Like, how's the G50, the G13 or whatever.
Yeah, how's that, man?
I like it. It's, so instead of using WASD to move yourself, I have this little thumbstick that I use to move myself. And it's actually, like, remember, did you do Wheel of the Emperor back in Mobishan Vaults?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Remember the dance?
Yes. It sucked.
That is the worst thing ever for any kind of, like, if you have to do precise movement,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to do, like, precise movement with these little, like, thumbstick I have. Like, so I have, like, I'm controlling my thumb, trying to dodge the, so I was the worst person ever to do that dance. If I was going to do that again, I'd switch back to WA. I'd like literally take my hand off it and do WASD and stop DPSing for it or whatever. So.
That's funny.
But other than that, like I have like I think I have about like 25 buttons mapped to that thing, and
jeez, man,
I use all of them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I see that thing. I was doing some mouse shopping recently, and I kept looking at that, going, "I don't know."
Want to get a Naga? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's all another story. But I did buy the Logitech version of the Naga, and ended up swapping it out for something else. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, level 30 talents.
These are pretty easy. ZenSphere is one that doesn't get used pretty much ever. I've never found a real good use for it. And I don't know if it's the same story with Mistweaver. But I always go with Chi Wave as my single target DPS.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chi Burst is like for AoE, if you need to do AoE damage or healing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. That's a pretty simple one.
Yeah, I think that's across the board, even as a when I'm healing, or I've been tanking since 5.4, and yeah, I love Chi Wave.
Yeah.
And how about the level 45 talents?
Same kind of story as the tier 15s. It's kind of there's like a beginner, intermediate, and advanced one. If you're just starting playing like a Windwalker, I usually recommend Ascension, because usually monks that are just starting out, like, you don't have a lot of haste, you don't have a lot of energy, there's a lot of gaps. You're just sitting here waiting for your energy to tick before you can jab again, and it's not very much fun just kind of sitting there waiting for your things to happen.
Yeah.
So Ascension's a really good one, because that makes your energy tick faster, and it also gives you a fifth chi to work with.
I love that fifth chi, man.
I know.
I love it.
We're getting it baseline. Or we're getting a fifth chi baseline in Warlords of Draenor, which is actually going to be really nice.
Yeah, I've heard speculation about Ascension giving you a sixth chi, but
yeah,
I don't think that's been verified yet.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when it happens, I guess. But I'll have to change around all my weak auras when that happens. So
right, yeah.
But yeah, so Ascension's probably like the beginner option. I don't use we used power strikes like way back in the day before Ascension like boosted your energy gain. That one's probably better for PvP, I would guess, or something. I'm not sure.
Shoot, I don't know.
Although like Chi Brew is actually better for PvP. But so power strikes is kind of the redheaded stepchild of that tier, like no one really picks it. Kind of the advanced option is the Chi Brew. So once you have too much haste that we're running with Ascension, you want to switch to Chi Brew, because that Chi Brew is great, because it actually is just like it straight up just gives you Tiger Eye Brew. You don't have to spend a lot of time jabbing and kicking to get it. You're just like, here's some Tiger Eye Brew. Have fun. And that's really great for like just keeping bursts going and keeping your drinking and having a good time.
And there it is. There's the point class right there.
Yep.
All right, the level 60 talents. What would this be considered? Crowd control?
Crowd control, yeah, or interrupts or stuns, all the good stuff. I use pretty much all of them. I mean, I typically have Ring of Peace. We have like a ton of stuns in our raid, so we have like a lot of warriors, we have a lot of paladins, we have like a lot of stuff going on. So we have plenty of stuns, so I usually just go with Ring of Peace. Kind of depends on your raid, I guess. Like if you guys run Stun Light, I would go with like a Leg Sweep. Leg Sweep is really sweet.
I love Leg Sweep, man.
Yeah. Because it's got a short cooldown, and it's like a good five second stun, which is a long, long time. And you don't have to point it. It's like charging Ox Wave or whatever. But
yeah. Yeah, I remember in the early 5 minutes in Heroics, it was all about that leg sweep, man.
Leg Sweep's OP. Like, I mean, if you're ever doing challenge mode, if you're doing challenge modes, like, I don't know if you guys have done a ton of those, but Leg Sweep is just OP for all challenge modes, basically. because you're trying to get through as fast as possible. So you pull like 8 groups at the same time, and then just leg sweep, and then just AOE. Like the tank takes no damage, and you just AOE them all down. And,
nice.
Yeah.
Level 75. I'm guessing this is probably going to be a toss-up between Dampen Harm and Diffuse Magic, depending on the fight.
Yeah, exactly. And I usually just go with Diffuse Magic, because there's not a lot of... In Siege of Urgrimmar, there's not a lot... I mean, a lot of it's spell damage that you're trying to, like, mitigate. I think I used... When we first do an Iron Juggernaut, we had, like, some of the DPS soaking those mines that come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Dampen Harm worked really well for that, because you had 3 charges of it, and you could just, like, take one, take another one, take another one.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But I usually just stick with Diffuse Magic. It's my favorite. I mean, it's just, like... And I try to... There's some encounters where you can cheese mechanics with Diffuse Magic. Back when Durmu... was a thing. He puts like a magic debuff on random players, and if you get it and you defuse magic, it puts the debuff back on him. So it's like this dot that ticks pretty heavy. So
yeah, dude, that's awesome.
But yeah, like defuse magic for the most part. I mean, Dampen Harm you have used on Iron Juggernaut, and then like when we were doing Dark Animus. I think those are the only 2 fights I've really used Dampen Harm for, but pretty much, yeah. If you need physical mitigation, then you take Dampen Harm. Otherwise, just like stick with Diffuse Magic. It's pretty OP.
Sweet. Let's see, level 90 talents. I'm guessing Cheat Torpedo's not even really a thing, huh? For Windwalkers.
Unfortunately, no. I mean, there's not a... You have to stop. I mean, you basically have to stop your rotation, cheat torpedo, run back to where you were, and then start your rotation again. if you want to use cheat torpedo. I use it when I kite on Brewmaster. Like, I spec Brewmaster and kite adds on Garrosh.
Yeah.
And so I use cheat torpedo because I guess it goes a little bit further than roll, and it also heals me, so I'm not, like... Because I'm out in the middle of BFE where nobody's like helping me out, so I have to be like, gives me a little bit of a cushion. Cheat Torpedo, I want to like it, but it's not very good.
Right. So Tiger Bro, I'm guessing, is the go-to for the most part, huh?
Yep. I need my Blue Eyes White Tiger. Pretty much for like any single target encounter. If there's like a lot of cleave going on, so like if you're doing Fallen Protectors or Spoils of Prandaria, I'm trying to think of and Galakrys, I think those are the fights I use Rushing Jade Wind for. And when I'm using Rushing Jade Wind, I usually go back and spec Ascension, just because it gobbles up a lot of energy to keep it up.
Yeah, it does.
So I will I'll pair those up generally. But any kind of single target encounter, I usually use Xuan.
Awesome. Okay, let's see here. Maybe any glyphs we can get through real quick before we get into the rotations.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the glyphs are pretty much kind of your choice, I guess. There's only one that's really mandatory, and it's like the minor of Blackout Kick.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because that glyph is basically Blackout Kick. When you are facing, when the boss is, when the thing you're kicking is facing you, it heals you, but if you're behind it, it'll like put a dot on the thing you're kicking. So basically the glyph of Blackout Kick just makes sure that it always puts up a dot no matter what way you're facing when you're kicking stuff.
Yeah, and with there's just so much movement and so much crap this expansion, really, that it's hard to make sure that you're constantly behind whatever. So
yep, and if you're doing LFR or flex, or your tank is just kind of being like a jerk and facing the raid with the boss, it's not going to like hurt your DPS if you pick it.
That's kind of nice. I did not even realize that. I was, for some reason, I was like, oh, you know, little 20% heals, man, that just helps with survivability. But I guess that's what healers are for, right?
Well, it depends on how much you trust your healers, I guess. So maybe that glyph's not as mandatory as like.
That's funny. There's a ton of glyphs that seem like, honestly, man, they're just useless. They're just little, like, yeah, you could do that if you want, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, sure.
This looks yeah. Fun. Oh, sure. Your spheres last 3 minutes now. That's cool, that's I guess. Cool.
I can look at it.
Right. Now I gotta run over there. Yeah. Now there's spheres everywhere.
Yeah. But, I guess, like, I mean, Zen Flight is probably, like, the funnest glyph.
That is, dude, that's the best.
I know. It's like, oh, I'm falling? Not anymore.
Yeah, I would, I don't know if they changed it. I know you were able to do herbalism and stuff from that for a while. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if you still can or not, but I would use it to get quest items, you know? Like, you could just kind of go over and drop into a little area and
do a sneak attack mission or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to miss Zen Flight whenever we're in Warlords of Draenor and there's no flying allowed. No fun zone.
I don't even want to think about that. But.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess like the ones I use that kind of find the most useful is Touch of Karma. I think the spell has a melee range, so the glyph actually makes it you can cast it from like 20 yards away. Which is really nice because I'll touch a karma a lot of stuff.
it's probably
our funnest spell. Like, I really like tell people like you guys should use touch a karma more, just because it's like you look cool doing it because you're like, ha, I'm taking less damage, but it's really a DPS game.
Dude, it's great for PvP, man. It's freaking awesome. If somebody, you could tell if somebody doesn't know any better and they're just lighting India, I'm like, karma.
Dude's popping lust and just like,
yep,
going ham.
That's the best. Well, let's get into maybe some of the priority or the rotation of it. We can run through the single target and some AOE, and then maybe some advanced tricks after that. So,
yeah.
So jab jab uplift.
Jab jab uplift. Podcast over.
Win.
I mean, single target priority. Basically, what you want to do is you want to fill up. You want to always be casting, like ABC. Always be casting. So that's jabbing and then using your chi to either. So what you want to do is you want to jab when you have energy. You want to keep rising sun kick on cooldown. Rising sun kick's your biggest hitting hardest spell.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah, and it's always fun. It's got leaves a nice trail in the air. Rising for two reasons. For one, it's our biggest hitting spell, and two, it leaves a debuff on the boss that makes them take extra damage from all of our abilities. So you want to make sure that debuff always stays up. And I will make sure that you just keep it on cooldown because it hits the hardest. Second is what you want to do is like, I mean, once you what you want to do is you want to be able to track your combo break. Like what happens when you jab is like you have a chance to generate this buff called Combo Breaker, which you can either Blackout Kick or Tiger Palm for free. Basically, you don't have to spend any chi, and you can do this for free. What you want to do is kind of like plan your rotation around with your energy. And so if you know you're going to be low in energy, you want to kind of like plan to use your tiger, your combo breaker procs to kind of fill in all the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically want to always have like a smooth, the goal is to have a smooth rotation. So you're always like doing like, you're always filling every GCD, kind of like beating a drum. You want like to just like hit,
mm-hmm.
instead of like hit. You want to like, you know, basically make sure you're hitting everything right after another. And so you want to use Rising Sun Kick on full cooldown, take advantage of your combo breaker procs, Blackout Kick to fill. If you have excess chi, you want to use it on combo breaker, or you want to use it on Blackout Kick, and then also you want Tiger Palm about once every 20 seconds to keep there's a buff you get when you Tiger Palm that it's basically like lets you bypass some of the armor on the boss, so that's definitely good to keep up. And then Fists of Fury, when you are running, if you're running low on energy and you have chi and you're going to be in a safe position and not waste energy, you want to use Fists of Fury. But it's
I was going to ask you about that. I think there's some mixed schools of thought on Fists of Fury.
Yeah, Fists of Fury is it's a spell that I love to hate, and a lot of people love hate to love. It's kind of like this. it's just weird. I mean, it's kind of one of our abilities that hasn't really kept up as the expansions progressed. Like, we basically used it on cooldown, and like when the expansion first came out, and then and it's just like we've had a lot of changes to our mastery, and we've had a lot of things happen with our rotation. Like we had Storm, Earth, and Fire added, and things changed, and it hasn't really it kind of lost its way, I guess, or it's not as fun and shiny to push. So it's a good spell definitely to use. Like the problem with haste stacking is that you don't use it as much, but it's not not a bad thing. It's just kind of one of those things that if you have some downtime, definitely throw in a Fist of Fury. The problems people have with it is that it's kind of out of your control sometimes on whether it hits a boss or not, because you could sit there, push the button, and then a second later the tank could decide to take the boss like 10 feet away where you're not hitting it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always kind of been a big sore point, is like you have to like A, be psychic to know that your tank's going to do weird stuff with the boss, and then B, like it roots you in place, so if like all of a sudden, you know, if there's fire under your feet or whatever, you kind of like need to move, and you just kind of wasted 3 chi on a spell that didn't do the full channel. So kind of there's some feel bads associated with it, but thankfully they're fixing a lot of that stuff next expansion. Like they're giving it they're like, all right, cool. We'll make it do way more damage, and we will make it so you can move while casting, and then we'll give you a pillow to stand on. And they're just like, they buffed it so we want to love it. So can't wait to try that out and see where it goes. But I want to like it. I want it to be good, but I'm kind of like one of those over aggressive parents that are trying to like coach their kids' baseball team. Like, I have the highest expectations for you. So I'm going to be really hard on you. So I'm really hard on Fist of Fury because I have really high expectations for it.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
But, then what you want to... So that's kind of like your basic rotation. And then what you want to do is you want to use your Tiger Eye Brew there's no, like, right time to use it. I usually pop it right before I Rising Sun Kick, because what I try to do is I try to fit... Because you pop Tiger Eye Brew, and it gives you a 60% damage buff for 15 seconds. And so what I try to do is try to fit as much like hard-hitting stuff in that 15-second window as possible, so that all my nukes are super buffed up and they're hitting like gangbusters. So I'll try to fit a couple Rising Sun Kicks in, and I'll also try to use Fist of Fury when I'm like buffed up with Tiger Eye Brew, because it makes Fist of Fury hit like a truck as well. So,
now I know that so much has changed. So I'm trying to like where it was before and where it is now. So you don't wait until your Tiger's Eye Brew is full or that however many stacks you have. Doesn't really matter.
Like they changed it from how it was initially. Like initially it was you could only get it up to 10 stacks, and it would do like 10 it would do like percent damage per stack, and so you pretty much like you can only use up to 10 stacks at a time. So now you can hold 20 stacks at a time, but when you use the buff it only uses 10 charges.
Oh, okay. So anything over 10
Anything over 10, go for it, I would say. Like that's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck.
Okay, that's good.
Right. But yeah, like I used to, way back in the day, like like, and I guess like my advice to people is don't be afraid to use it. Like if you're like, okay, I'm sitting at 18 stacks, but I'm gonna wait like 30 more seconds for this one time, for this one thing to happen in the fight, or I'm gonna wait 30 seconds because I want to wait for my trinkets to proc. Like, well, don't do that. Like, they only, like, your Tiger Brewer stacks only go up to 20. And so if you're sitting at 20, that means you're kind of like, all the new stuff you're getting is just getting wasted. So, don't be afraid to use it. Even if you're like, your trinket's proc and you have 8, like, just hit it and go for it.
It stacks pretty quickly.
It stacks pretty quickly, yeah. So it'll come back. But I would say use it early and often.
What about the other brew? The energy?
Energizing brew?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're getting low on energy, I would just, that's the best time to use. That's the best time to use that is like, if you're in that spot where you're like having to wait for energy to tick before you can jab again, like basically you want to get to a point where you're using it, where you're basically using it on cooldown because it's going to give you the best boost doing that.
But you don't want to pair that up with like a Fist of Fury or
no,
because then you're just sitting energy capped.
Then you're just sitting energy capped, and you're kind of wasting that extra energy. But
so I always pop it at the wrong time, and I'm like sitting there watching all this energy, and I'm like, God dang it!
It's like spilling out on the ground, and you're like, oh, sorry.
You're like, seriously, the drunk monk. Just dumping your brew out everywhere. Just
dumping your Four Loko.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Energy
no one likes, no, see, no one likes that guy. No one wants to hang out with that
don't,
guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Have a few drinks, but don't get like belligerent.
Yeah, you want to pace yourself. You don't want to use energy. You don't want to use energizing brew at the wrong time. You want to pace yourself. Because otherwise, it's going to be a hot mess at the end of the night if you're just energy capping. So
yeah. Well, how about AOE then?
AOE, like I kind of said earlier,
I am lost on Earth, Wind, and Fire. I am totally
I mean, they're pretty good band.
I'm clicking on stuff, man. I'm clicking on this guy way over there, and then clicking the ability, and then clicking this other thing. I'm like, dude, this is the wrong way to do this.
Yeah, it's a little clunky, I will say. Because basically, Storm, Earth, and Fire, you need to have the thing you want it to be on. You need to target it, and then hit the ability, and then you want to switch back to whatever else you were hitting before.
Right.
So you have to do it's like this, like you have to like basically do three things. You have to do three things in a row to like make it effective. Which it should just be a simple button. You should be like Fist guy, go over there, Storm guy, go over there, and then focus on what you're doing.
So it's essentially multi-dotting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's putting up dot. It's basically a multi-dot that stays there forever until you either cancel the buff or the thing that you're killing dies. And they're little clones of yourself that copy everything that you're doing. So if you jab, they jab. If you Rising Sun kick, they Rising Sun kick. And they also have, like you kind of I mentioned before, that you have like a Rising Sun key debuff that's on your target, and you have a Tiger Power buff that you want to keep on yourself. Mm-hmm. They also have their own versions of that too. So you
know, nice. Yeah.
So if you are kicking and punching and throw them out, they're not going to have those buffs until the next time you do those abilities. So, but yeah, I mean, they basically just do whatever you tell them to do, and if I PvP'd, I'm sure that'd be really confusing and fun to fool people. Like, am I over here? Am I over there? Like, what am I doing? But, so they inherit all your buffs. They also have their own, Tiger Eye Brew as well. When you use Tiger Eye Brew, they get the buff too. So it's really fun. It's really cool. like I kind of said before, like with the, if you want to do, if you have like multiple targets all fight, you want to probably pick Rushing Jade Wind as a talent.
Okay.
And then what I do is when I say if I'm doing the protector fight, like the second fight in Siege of Urgrimmar, and there's three guys.
Mm-hmm.
So right before the pull, I'll pop a potion, and when the pull comes, I have a macro that I use. It's a mouse over macro. it's macro to my middle mouse button, so I click my middle mouse button, and whatever my mouse is over, it'll cast Storm, Earth, and Fire on that target, so I don't even need to like target swap.
Yes, perfect.
So I'll mouse over something, click my button, mouse over the other thing, click my button, and then target the thing I want to punch, and then I've got two clones up, and I go and do my normal thing. so that's if like you have multiple targets you're going to be up on the whole fight. Those are fun spells to use. I would say if something's going to be alive for 10 to 20 seconds or 10 or more seconds, definitely just pop a clone on it. Like, it'll increase your DPS. It's a very good spell. I think I did not mention that it does split your damage, but if you have two clones, if it's yourself and one clone, each of you does 60% of the damage that you do. So basically you're basically doing 120% of your normal damage. If you have one clone, if you have two clones plus yourself, you all do 55%. No, it's like 60. Are you still doing? What is it? It's a 35% DPS increase to use two clones, and it's 20% to use one. But you all have to be attacking different targets.
Yeah, it's a loss if you're on the same target, right?
Right. Yeah. If you throw a clone on the target you're attacking, then he doesn't copy your abilities. So
it doesn't hurt you then, it just doesn't help you.
It hurts you because your clone's not attacking and you're doing 60% of your damage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not never a spell you want to use on a target you're attacking. So like if it's a single target fight and you have a clone up on the boss, take it off.
All right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
If there's a lot of cleave, a lot of stuff happening, I would go Rushing Jade Wind. If there's like a lot of ads coming out, you can just pop a couple clones out real quick and then just go straight into a Spinning Crane Kick, and it does a lot of damage. And so, the best way to use those guys is kind of planning out and knowing when things are happening, knowing when you're going to have like an AoE kind of burst phase, and just pop a couple clones real quick, pop Tiger Eye Brew, and just start letting the feet fly.
That's awesome. Do you ever find yourself in a position where you're just spamming Spinning Crane Kick, or is it normally just you still kind of keep up your normal rotation and then put out your clones?
The only time I really like use Spinning Crane Kick a lot is on Thok. So like, I think, I'm not sure if he does this on normal, but on heroic, he does a couple transitions. And mm-hmm. So like the second transition, there's a bunch of bats, like, you know, on the trash, there's all those bats.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he'll summon like a pack of like 12 bats to attack the raid. And so that's when I usually just like, I just lean into Spinning Crane Kick hard and just like go at it over and over and over again. But if there's a lot of cleave on the fight, I'll just go with Rushing Jade Wind and just keep my normal rotation or whatever I'm doing and just try to keep Rushing Jade Wind going.
Gotcha. So I guess we kind of talked about cooldowns a little bit. It depends on what talents you take then. Tiger Bro or whatnot.
Never heard him called Tiger Bro before.
Really?
Like, I just see like this guy with like, he doesn't have a, I don't think he has a pop collar or anything, does he? Like,
no, he's not like Jersey Shore style, but he's just your bro. He's there, he's got your back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not his actual name. That's the only name I've ever heard called.
Let's call him Brow.
I know, I was going to make a macro that was like a Pokemon, like, I choose you, Tiger Bro. Like, I don't think I ever did it, but... So, in terms of cooldowns, are they really just these main ones that we've been talking about that are part of your rotation then? Part of your, you know, your Tiger's Eye Brew and your Energizing Brew and stuff? Or what, do you have any big main, like, OMG cooldowns?
The main one is Tiger Eye Brew. There's a few fights in Siege of Orgrimmar where you can disarm things. What you can actually use is a grapple weapon as a really good.
I just put that on my bars. For PvP.
It's probably better for PvP just to have it on your bar, but I actually macro it into my Tiger Eye Brew button. So I can grapple something. So I can basically, so when you grapple someone, it'll give you like a 5% damage increase.
Yeah.
So I'll growl, like macro that into my Tiger Eye Brew and get like a 5% times 60%. So just get an extra little boost.
That's awesome.
That's good. And
I can't think of anything else really that's like.
I mean, Xuan is, I mean, yeah, Tiger Bro is like our fun cooldown. That's our fun button.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's good. Although, I don't know, Sunnier put up a guide, and we had her on a while back, but I have really just fallen in love with Rushing Jade Wynn, even as a tank, man. Anytime there's anything with ads, dude.
Oh, no, they just stick to you.
Yeah, I've had our other tank often tell me that to go eat a sandwich.
Yep.
I'll be right back. You got this. Oh, yeah. And on the garage and stuff, or spoil, like, I'd spoils if you go to your own side. But, yeah, anything where, yeah, the garage when all the ads come out, like, dude, forget about it.
Yeah, I love Rushing Jade Wind.
Yeah, you keg smash and Rushing Jade Wind, and you're just, like, you're good to go. All right. Well, how about maybe take it to the next level then? What advanced tips or tricks would you have for somebody who's been playing Windwalker for a while but wants to kind of up their game a little?
Kind of up their game. I'm kind of giving away everything free, I guess. So I need to.
What do you normally? Is there normally some sort of?
No, there's not fee really involved. I mean, I would say the more advanced stuff would be abusing like Touch of Karma more, like definitely using Touch of Karma to your advantage. I mean, I've at the beginning of this expansion, when I first got Touch of Karma, I was like, oh my god, this is like my invincibility button. I can just use this to basically like be a, like cheese everything and not have to do encounter mechanics. And so our first Spirit Kings fight, you know, where you have to stand in front of the Annihilate, you have to like, and so I was like, nah, dude, I'll just stand in front of it by myself, it's not a big deal. I got Touch of Karma, and just like got just floored, just like made a corpse instantly.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so like, my advice is, if you want to be more advanced, is figure out how to use that and not kill yourself.
Yeah, how to take damage, but not too much damage.
Yeah, how to take just enough damage. What you can actually do is macro Fortifying Brew, or I don't macro them together, but you can. You can macro for a Fortifying Brew and Touch of Karma together, so that it basically boosts your health pool up by 20%, and makes you take 20% less damage. But you take 20% less damage, but the dot doesn't get reduced by 20%.
Oh, good, yeah.
So you can actually, like, I've actually like soaked mines on Heroic Iron Juggernaut with Fort Brew and Tiger Eye and Fort Brew and Touch of Karma at the same time, and had the ticks on the boss. It'll tick the boss for like 650,000 damage. And that's just the ticks, so it'll just be sitting there. Like, that's what it'll do, probably like 3 million damage.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah. Definitely. Look, advanced stuff is definitely learning how to like use Storm Earth and Fire effectively. Like on Nazgrim is a great place to use it. Fallen Protectors is a great place to use it. Any fight where there's going to be like little adds that definitely need some need some love.
You just pop them out real quick. Do you cheese anything like the pad meters, or like the paragons? Like, obviously, it doesn't matter if you're damaged,
right,
the guys? But it looks good.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, man, this guy's doing like twice as much DPS as everyone.
Is that? I mean, do you do that ever?
I wish I could get away with it, but my raid leader's pretty smart, and he'll be like, he's like, get your shit off of that boss right now. Just like, stop.
That's great.
You can actually use them to cheese Nazgrim a little bit. When he's in defensive stance, you're not supposed to attack him, but you can just go throw a clone on him. And
nice. It's a pet.
Right, it's a pet, and he won't stack rage on him or whatever.
Yeah, so long as you are, as ads are up, then you're...
Yep. And you're just attacking the ads or whatever, so...
Yeah, well, that's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's clever use of game mechanics.
Clever use of game mechanics. We like that phrase.
Juvipano says, your raid leader is as smart as a smart heel.
He's not a robot, so I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's like anything else that's fun. I know that you can use Storm Earth and Fire out, like, you know, and I don't know how much you've done Garrosh, but he throws those axes out that need to be like DPS down.
Yep.
You can just pop a Storm Earth and Fire on those axes and keep attacking the boss.
Now, you mentioned using a mouse over macro for your your clones. Is there any other tricks to that? Because I feel like even with a mouse, I guess a mouse over macro really would make a difference on that. Do you need to track what they're doing, or, you know, I've heard of add-ons and weak ores and
right. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Like, there is a weak ore I use, and it's on the MMO Champion forums. And I can probably shoot you a link over Twitter. It's just a real simple weak aura that tracks. It gives you a window and shows you the name of what they're attacking and like how much health it has, and it's a little icon that'll actually flash right at you if you and your clone are attacking the same thing.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
So it'll be like, hey,
knock it off!
Yeah, cut it out!
Yeah. That's good. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I would say definitely they might be a true blue add-on for it, but I definitely use the weak ores because I use weak ores for everything.
Yeah, I like weak ores a lot.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I guess we have one other little thing here. Maybe if you want to give us some of your thoughts on some of the Warlords reveal that we had here before we start wrapping it up. What do you think about what's in store for the Windwalkers?
Yeah, actually, so they released all the alpha patch notes. I think there was like Celestalon and Zaram went on a couple podcasts and talked about like all the class changes, and it all looks pretty positive, I would say. Like, they listened to their community, I think, and they said, yeah, you guys know something. You guys, sounds like you guys know a thing or two about monks and about windwalkers and right, kind of where we should put our attention. Like I said earlier, like they're like, all right, Fist of Fury, we're having this Fist of Fury talk. All right, let's cut it out. Fist of Fury is going to be amazing. We'll make it awesome. I think they're fixed. I think they're going to do some improvements to Stormworth and Fire. They're taking it off the global cooldown, which is like a godsend. Right now, I mean, like I kind of mentioned that like our rotations are very much like it's rhythmic. It's like, yeah, it's on the GCD, it's GCD, 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 and you don't have any room to cast Stormwind and Fire because it throws a wrench in the works when you try to use it if you're like deadlocked in the middle of punching stuff. So they're going to take it off the GCD, and I think they're probably going to, like, you know, make it a little bit easier to use, hopefully. What else are they doing there? They're giving us some debuffs, so they're saying, like, yeah, Rising Sun Kick now provides a raid debuff. They're doing a lot of good stuff. I like our our selection for tier 100 talents. I think those are going to be really... I think G-Explosion excites me the most. It just sounds like a really neat spell to use. Yeah, I'm looking for... I mean, basically, I think they solved all of our... all the problems we were having, they basically said, all right, we're just going to fix them all. And now I have to figure out like what else I'm going to complain about. But I think we're okay. I think we're going to be all right.
Awesome. Right on. Well, Han, did you, in all of your experience...
Yeah, he's been real quiet. I feel like it's just been me and you.
Well... See, okay, I looked. My monk is level 71. I don't know when that happened. And my only spec is Mistweaver. So
for reals? You're 71? You're not,
yeah, I know. I don't know when
you don't have dual spec or anything?
No, I haven't bothered. Because I was running with Rob. He had a tank. I had my Mistweaver. It was instant cues for dungeons. It was awesome. I didn't need to do anything different. So
yeah, I don't even think we hardly even went into Outland or anything.
No, I think I've done like a few of the quests at the beginning, but that's it.
So, yeah.
So yeah, no, I don't have a Windwalker, so I got not much to add here.
You have two warlocks, but no monk. That's cool.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm sort of jealous because it gets pretty ridiculously crazy in the melee pile. Like always, so
yeah,
it must be nice to be arranged and just kind of like see everything, or actually see your character because you don't
right.
If you play a tank or a melee, you're just like buried in this gigantic pile of spell effects.
Yeah, yep. There's always getting your face handed to you when you're doing the melee stuff. So. Yep.
Like I usually have to look through the combat log when I die because I'm like, I don't even know what hit me. I have to go do an autopsy. I have to go. But.
Well, okay. Awesome.
Yes.
We pretty much covered all that, right?
I think so. Sounded like a lot.
I heard talking, I think. I think it went well.
I heard something about jab, uplift, done. So,
yep.
I think I got it.
Yep.
I think I got it.
This is Time Travel Wednesday back to 5.0. Jab, uplift.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. Okay. Well, if we're done with that, we have a clip from Kim today. So I guess I'll play that now.
Welcome back to Crowd Control. It's been a while, but we're back this week, and I want to talk to you about, you guessed it, Warlords of Draenor. So stick around, and I hope you enjoy. So let's start off with healing. That's had a fairly significant change. You've probably read the patch notes. Blizzard want to basically have less on-the-move smart heals. So a cast time of 1.8 seconds has been applied to spells like Eternal Flame, Prayer of Mending, and Wild Growth. And your AoE heals will heal any player now instead of players at the lowest health. So that's just some of the basic things for the heals. Obviously there's a lot more in-depth details on the actual WoW blog. I want to jump on to CC. Basically, there's going to be no more blanket silence and no more abilities that can make cast time CC and instant cast, which is fantastic. I really like that. They've changed some categories of DR and things like that, but out of all of it, that was the thing that I found the most interesting. And you know, if you marry that with the changes to healing that I mentioned before, you realise that losing the instant cast heals, it isn't such a big deal. It's mostly an adjustment to your playstyle, and let's face it, if you powered through the Cataclysm with your healer, this will be a piece of cake. You have absolutely nothing to be worried about. Taking these factors into account, I think that PvP is going to be a fairly different game. Healers are going to have to really prioritise their heals and think a lot more about mana. If you've been anywhere near Twitter in the past few days, then you have probably seen the wealth of information that's been released about Garrison over the last few days. But none of it related directly to PvP. And it makes me wonder if this is still to come, or if it's directed just, you know, at raiders. So far, from my own personal point of view, as someone that only does PvP and WoW, I'm not very enthusiastic about the amount of grinding that would be involved for very little payback for PvP. But having said that, I can see the benefits from it from a PvE perspective. There's some debate on you know, Twitter and things like that as to whether or not it will be a requirement for raiders. But from what's been talked about so far, I doubt that's going to be the case for PvPers. The last thing I want to talk about quickly is the fact that Blizzard have been talking about getting rid of Battle Fatigue and Resilience for a long time, that they wanted it lowered and they wanted to get rid of it. Well, they've managed to do it for Warlords by lowering critical damage and heals against players in PvP to 150% instead of 200% and doubling our health and mana. You know, the base resilience could be removed and the battle fatigue was gone too. So these changes are basically to see less bursty damage and heals in PvP, which is, you know, that's great. I'm sure at some point in another, a player has been stunlocked and blown up in a matter of seconds, and it's no fun. There's no challenge in that. That's not an enjoyable part of PvP. As always, the patch notes are subject to change. This could all change next week, but at the moment, from what I've seen and what I've read in the patch notes, you know, I think it's pretty good. And in an ideal world, you know, they wouldn't have to change anything through the alpha, beta, testing stages. But that never happens. So, yeah, personally, I feel a little bit more attention's been paid to PvP. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm good with it. As always, everyone, thank you for listening. And if you want to get in contact, you can get all my contact details on thetrainingdummies.com, or you can head over to Century Totem for my new PvP column. I hope everyone has a great week.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
I always check my loot spec during a boss fight.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Just like, crap, you like somebody salty will be like, check your loot spec.
I know. It's happened a few times.
It's great.
I've actually neglected to check my loot spec before coining bosses. And gotten Mistweaver gear.
You're like, no!
Like, that would be great if I was not. Crap.
Do you have any special derp moments?
There's a few that are near and dear to my heart. I am directionally challenged at times. I don't know if you remember back in Wrath of the Lich King, there was a fight called Malagos, where it takes place in this, like, circular space room where you don't really know what direction things are. And I was tanking at the time on my paladin, and we were always supposed to, like, meet up in the north end of the building. Well, I'm tanking this gigantic dragon that has a tail swipe, and so I always inevitably point his tail directly at the raid and swipe everyone, and we would have some not so happy things to say to me.
That's awesome.
There's also a video that exists on the internet where I was tanking Magma in Cataclysm, and on the pull decided to just charge straight at the boss and not stop running, and ran completely off the edge of the platform.
Nice.
And tanked him in the lava and promptly died. So that was fun.
That's stinking awesome. I remember that, falling off a few times. I was often part of the crew that was clicking the chains to jump up, and I don't know. I would
excited.
Take a dive, yeah. How about you, Hind? You said you had something.
Well, if I'm given free reign to play video games for a week and a half, I should just do that.
Right?
That's what I learned the hard way. because my goodness, I was so exhausted after that week and a half too. But yeah, that's the big thing I got. That's what I learned the hard way. If you're given the opportunity to do it, just do it. Rob, I know you got something here. Shit, you always have something.
Which is why it became a segment. So I have, in the interest of stepping up my game over the past, recently, whatever, I've really been reevaluating a lot of, like, keybinds and how things are laid out and everything, and I was like, I forgot about this. I was able to set up the nudge left and nudge right on my mouse wheel as a couple of completely separate keys as well. And so I was like, this is a great idea. This is awesome. I need to put some things on here that I'll use that I want to have quick access to, but you know, I'm trying to figure this out. So I was, I decided to go ahead and on my Monk, I had put for PvP, I had put the movement pairing trinket on one side and whatever the heck, the other one that Nimble Brew on the other side. I'm like, this is great, right? Well, the problem that I didn't realize was that I'm a spaz when I play, and pretty much every time I went to push down on the mouse wheel, which is for me is roll, like when I click the mouse wheel down, I would also do one of the others, and I couldn't figure out for, I don't even know how many BGs it was. I was like, why is my stupid stuff on cooldown every time I go to use it? Like,
oh, no.
And I was firing off my trinkets and my Nimble Brew pretty much every single time I was going to roll, which is a lot. So, yeah, I learned the hard way that those are some pretty cool buttons that I haven't really utilized in the past, but I need to rethink that and put something there that's maybe not not really that important, or something that I can fire off and cool down or something. But yeah, good job, Rob.
Yeah, I don't use the nudge left or right. It just doesn't. I don't know.
It doesn't feel right to me. But you know, yeah. this whole thing about me reevaluating and seeing like where I can get more bang for my buck. You know.
Yep.
So I don't know. I've moved. I'm trying out a few different things now. I put Ring of Peace on there, but of course it's firing off every time it's up, and so I'm just like, God darn it!
So you just need to macro all of your abilities that you use to one button, and just like have it be a rant, like just have a lottery, like, oh, I guess I use jab. So it, oh, and then it picked mm-hmm. this one. I just like yep. Yeah, one button rotation.
I know there's the one button macros that. Some folks we know like to put them on the mouse wheel and just sit there and spin the wheel.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not my style, but
those
guys. It's like Twitch plays Pokemon when you fire up.
Yeah, right. Well, I think, what do we got here?
We got this. So the problem with taking a month off is that I go a month without listening to that song.
You didn't listen to The Outfield while you were doing it?
So, of course, I need to send some head love to Megan for that awesome bumper. I still love it. Also going to send some head love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies on the Deathwing server. And I'm going to send some to the folks over at Catalyst Gaming Media, and specifically Epic Podcast. And I'll mention this here. They're once again doing the Child's Play Marathon, where they're going to live stream for 24 hours. And they're doing some Flex Raids as well that you can sign up for via Open Raid. And if you want more information on that or on the whole Child's Play Marathon, you can go to the Catalyst forums at catalystgamingmedia.com and click on the forums links. And on the, there's a section there specifically for that Child's Play Marathon. And all the posts regarding it are in there, or links to any of the relevant information. So hand love for those guys for doing that. And of course, I need to send some hand love to Rotan for coming on the show today and talking all about a class I know nothing about. So thanks. It was awesome. Actually, I learned a bit for when I do my dual spec. Yes, that's what it is.
There's so many monk abilities that are fluid throughout all three specs, though, that really, you know, once you start to learn how it works, moving back and forth, whether you're Mistweaver or Windwalker or whatever, you start to get a good feel for it. So yeah. Maybe some it'll stick in your subconscious somewhere, and yeah. Next thing you know, you'll be one badass DPS, and you won't even know what happened.
It'd be like four patches from now, leveling up your monk, and be like, he said something about jab. I think he said this.
Yep, there we go.
Uplift jab, got it, okay.
Rob, what do you got? Hand love.
I am going to definitely say thank you to Rotan for coming on. Thank you to Jab and Day for having me along with their PvP team and inviting me to do threes with them and kind of opening up a new world for me. It's been pretty fun, pretty crazy, and our Twitter and whatnot community, we've got some really cool folks out there. So definitely thank you to everybody who stuck it out with us and let us take this month to get resorted again.
Rotund, what do you got for hand love for us today?
I have some hand love for my guild, Something Wicked, Whisperwind US. They're a great bunch of people. Really, I have a lot of fun with them. There's some of them around the community, but definitely cool having them being associated with those guys. Also want to give some heartfelt hand love to Iron Deficiency that plays on the CT, one of the CTR guilds. They do some of the guys on the Monk Meditation podcast, and their raid actually they've dissolved. And I want to kind of say I'm thinking about them. It's a bummer to have your raid fall apart, but they're working on Heroic Garrosh, and I guess like people need to take a break. So I want to make sure that they get some good feelings going out to them. And then I guess I can plug really quick Monk Meditation podcast, and also Monk Craft podcast on sometimes with Gulvin, and they do a pretty good show over there. So I don't know, if people want to learn more about monks, definitely go check those two out. So
I definitely listen to both of those.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have bumper for five stars, do we?
No, we don't. You were waiting for it, weren't you?
Kind of, yeah.
That's funny. Oh, you know, man. What? I'm going to take this from you because you talked a lot more than I did during the other section. So we actually have a five-star review here today. And it's, This Show Ain't No Dummy, and it's from Seraphis. And he says, love me some Hand and Rob. They're good people with awesome guests. And not just saying that since I was a guest. They get the skinny on classes, lore, and much more. Definitely a must listen. Thank you, Seraphis. That was a very awesome review. And what do we got here? Well, I guess, yes. I guess I should mention that. If you want to leave us a review, you can leave one on iTunes and or Stitcher. You can leave one on both. Please leave one, good, bad, or otherwise. Let us know how we're doing.
Well, before we wrap this up, Mr. Brotunt, why don't you let everybody know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, fuck you.
Did you say what I thought you said?
I said fuck.
I think I have some editing to do.
No.
People can.
There's a no. Yes. where they can fist of fury you.
Yeah.
They can wind walk you. Dear Lord.
Well, that's not a service I provide right now on the internet, but maybe someday. I'm on Twitter mostly. My Twitter name is Brotund, Brotund. I'm usually on there. I talk about Windwalker stuff when I can, but that's usually the best place. So.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, we better wrap this up quick before anything else slips here. So that wraps up episode 65 of the Training Dummies. You can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher. I guess that's here as well. Please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. You can follow our Twitter, though, and we'll make sure to keep you informed on all the things. That's at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Hend, at Hend_Horderlies. And Kim, with a Y, is at Kim Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!